Series, and we're on principle number 12. Number 12, nearly finished. The 13 principles of faith. We're number 12.
Are we going to be doing Pesach now?
Yeah, next week. So, principle number 12 is about Mashiach.
Mashiach.
We want Mashiach. Ani ma'amin, I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Messiah, the Mashiach. What does Mashiach mean, by the way? Mashiach, Savior, to pull. Huh? Anointed one. The anointed one. Mashiach means the anointed one. Okay? The anointed. Who's going to anoint him? That's a big question. Right? So our last Mashiach was David HaMelech. Who anointed David HaMelech? Who anointed David HaMelech? Nice. Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi anoints David HaMelech. There's a special oil of anointing. A special oil of anointing, which we don't even know where that is. So that's number one, is how are you going to get the oil of anointing? And a Mashiach. Anyway, so we believe with perfect faith the Mashiach will come. It's a brilliant, brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. Why is it a brilliant idea? Because that kept the Jewish people going, gave them optimism. It's a very optimistic idea that eventually everything will be good. Eventually everything will be good. I have a guy in my shul, Israeli, he asks me all the time, Ma yihye? What will be in the end? I said, don't worry, in the end it's going to be very good. The question is, what's going to happen in the meantime? We don't know. But the end is looked after. Baruch Hashem, the end is good. So we believe that Hashem created the world. He had a plan. He didn't just create a world without a plan. There's a plan. There's a master plan. In fact, there's a book called Master Plan. There's a plan. Hashem has a master plan when He created the world. And He has a plan and a purpose. And we believe that we play a role in this plan. And we believe the plan will happen, whether we like it or not. And the world will reach a point of tikkun, of fixing. And Mashiach will be the one who's going to fix it off. We're going to talk about. And Yemut HaMashiach is even a preparatory stage for Olam Haba. There's Mashiach, and then there's Olam Haba, which we're going to talk about. The third principle, the thirteenth principle is the revival of the dead. We believe in the revival of the dead. That's the next principle. So first, let's talk about Mashiach, but we don't know what's going to happen first. Is the Mashiach going to come first, or is the dead going to revive first? We don't know exactly. Okay, we don't know exactly. And Rambam's going to tell us we don't know. But the true goal, what is the true goal for Mashiach? Is not to take vengeance. Not to fight. The true goal is to have peace in the world, to be able to serve Hashem undisturbed. That's the goal. Messianic goal is everyone in the world will serve God without being disturbed, without being wasting our money on defense and arms and weapons. Everyone will spend their money on serving God. So it's a true desire for Geula, which is the redemption. It's not for our sake. It's amazing. It's not selfish. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, my life is going badly. I need Mashiach really badly to save me." No, that's not the idea. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say that, and they're in troubles. I need Mashiach. We need Mashiach. No, that's not the idea. The idea of the Geula is for the sake of Hashem. And the purpose of the Bria will come into fruition. The purpose of creation will come into reality, and bring about an era of Kavod Shemaim, of honor to God, which is Tikkun Olam. That's a time where the Mashiach will fix the world under the kingship of God. We've nearly been there. We've nearly had that period. And that period was called the period of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was the kind of Mashiach. All the nations of the world would go to Shlomo HaMelech for guidance. And that's what's going to happen. The Mashiach will be this charismatic character. All the nations of the world will go to solve all their problems. He'll be one man United Nations. He'll be a one man United Nations. The Mashiach will be Yaman. All the nations of the world will go to Mashiach to ask him how to solve their difficulties. So we want Geula. We want redemption. We want Hashem's name to be great in the world. And that's the last paragraph of the Aleinu. Alken dekavelach Hashem alakenu. Lirot me'ab tver rezach. We want to see your glory in the world, Hashem. That's what we want. We want Geula. We want to see the glory of Hashem in the world. And we say every day in our tefillah, Etzemach David Abdecha Merat Tesmiach. May the child of David come quickly. Ki lishuatka kivinu yom. We yearn for your Yeshua Hashem. We yearn for the sake of you, your your salvation. We're not yearning for our salvation. We're yearning for your salvation, Hashem. What do you mean? It's very strange, right? We want people to recognize God. That's the whole thing. So salvation is for Hashem, not for us. Okay, we're going to talk about the different conditions of Mashiach, but I'm just going to give it to you now before we learn the Rambam. Number one is, Mashiach has to be Mebet David. He's got to be a descendant of King David. Not on the mother's side, but on the father's side. Not on the mother's side, that's where the Christians got it wrong. They figured it out from the mother's side, but it doesn't work. The count, mother's side doesn't count. The tribe goes by the father's side. The tribe goes by the father's side. Thank you so much. The tribe goes by the father's side, not the mother's side. And therefore, the Mashiach has to be from the father's side. He has to be a descendant of David HaMelech, straight. Number two, he has to be as religious as his forefather David, learning Torah and doing mitzvot. Number three, he has to be very, very wise. Number four, he's going to be a big prophet. Mashiach has to be a prophet. He can't be someone who's a regular rabbi. He's got to be a prophet. And now we have his job description. Rambam gives us his job description. We're going to go to the Rambam in detail. Number one is he's going to reinstitute the kingdom of David. Number two, he's going to build a Beit HaMikdash. Number three, he's going to gather up all the Jews together. Number four, he's going to inspire the Jews to follow the Torah. And number five, he has to battle the battles of God. Okay, let's do it again. We're going to start again. Okay, number one, he's going to be from the house of David. Number two, he has to be learning and doing mitzvot just like his forefather David. Number three, he has to be very, very wise. Number four, he has to be a big prophet. Now we come to his job description. Number one, he has to reinstate the kingdom of David. Number two, he has to build the Beit HaMikdash. Number three, he has to ingather all the Jewish people. Number four, I think the harder one is, to inspire the Jews to follow the Torah. Number five is to fight the battles of Hashem. Okay, so that's...
Now, did David have all these
qualities? No, he didn't have all these qualities. He's not the Mashiach. He wasn't the Mashiach. He was Mashiach, and the Mashiach means appointed. He anointed. He was anointed. He was Mashiach Hashem, but he didn't finish his job.
Okay.
Big problem. He didn't finish his job, and that's why we're waiting for the next one. And he didn't finish his job. Shlomo didn't finish his job either. Then next one, Chizkiyah was meant to be Mashiach. He didn't finish either.
Sorry, Rabbi. The number four job description?
Yes, number four. He has to inspire the Jewish people to follow the Torah. And number five, he has to fight the battles of Hashem. So he's got to be multi-talented. He's got to be a general. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu. People don't realize Moshe Rabbeinu was multi-talented. Amazing. He was the general. He was the high priest at one time because he dedicated the Mishkan, first of Nisan. For 8 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was doing all the service in the Beit HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Why? There were no Kohanim yet. He didn't appoint the Kohanim yet. Right?
He just didn't talk so well.
Well, he didn't talk so well unless he had a prophecy. If he had a prophecy, he was amazing. Orator. Amazing orator. And that's how they knew the prophecy was from God. Because if you talk to him in private, he would stammer. But if he's talking, like Hashem is appointed, all of a sudden he's flowing with energy and flowing with vitality. That's why Hashem chose him. This way no one could deny it's from God when he talked. No one could deny it. Because regularly he couldn't talk. We talked about it yesterday, the prophet Amos, alright? Who was there yesterday? Prophet Amos. So prophet Amos, why is he called Amos? He was Amos. He was pressured. Why was he pressured? Again, he had a very big speech disability. But when he talked, he was amazing. The best speeches, one of the best speeches, one of the best speakers in the world was Amos. And Amos, one of the best things he says, and this is a famous, and they sing this song, right? He says, there's going to be a Ra'av. There's going to be a Ra'av Ba'aretz. There's going to be a famine in the land. And there's going to be a famine for bread and the famine for water. He says people won't be hungry for bread, and the people won't be hungry for water. What famine will it be? It'll be a famine of knowledge of God. He'll be hungry and thirsty to find out what Hashem wants. So that's what we're seeing today. People are thirsty for the word of God. They're not thirsty for bread. They're not thirsty for water. They're thirsty for the word of God. And this class is dedicated for Sarah Rosen, because that was a description of Sarah Rosen. Sarah Rosen was thirsty for the Word of God. She was always looking for the Word of God, always looking to classes. So really, Amos really sums up the personality of Sarah Rosen. And she wasn't thirsty for water, not for bread, and she was just thirsty for the knowledge of Hashem. And that's the future prophecy. So in the time of Amos, people didn't want to hear the prophets. He says, one day you're going to pray that you had prophets. So from the time of the Second Temple period till today, we don't have a prophet. We're crying, Hashem, send us a prophet. Send us someone who can tell us exactly what you want. We don't know exactly what it was. Okay. But apparently there are two Mashiachs. It's very strange, right? Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. And the Gemara says, Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed by Gog and Magog, the war of Gog and Magog. And the Yetzirah will also be killed. So what's going on? We don't know exactly what's going on. But we do know also that Eliyahu Navi will come first to spiritually prepare us for the Mashiach. Hine anochi sholeh alachem et Eliyahu Navi lifnei bo yom Hashem hagadol v'hanorah, before the great day of God. Eliyahu Navi will come. And what will his job be? Ve'eshiv lev avod abanim, to reconnect the fathers and the children. It's amazing. Today we see a generation gap. The parents and the children are split by this generation gap. And the children look down upon their parents. Why? You don't know as much as we do. Right? We're playing around with our iPads and our this and that. And you're living the old days. Right? I know a guy here, he still has a winding watch. Imagine. It's like an antique. Mm-hmm. Remember a watch that winds?
Right.
Can't believe he still has a watch. He's still winding his watch. I said, where are you living?
It still works.
Still works. A miracle.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Work way past our batteries.
It's amazing. So, we don't have all the details. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We're going to see. But we know what we see. Here it says, Veheshiv lev avot abanim, the parents and the children. And that's the whole purpose of Pesach. Talking about Pesach. The whole purpose of Pesach is to reconnect the children with their parents. Sit around the table, hear the Haggadah, in the mitzvah of telling the story. The parents have a mitzvah to tell the children the story of Pesach, to reconnect the generations. That's Eliyahu Navi's job, will be to reconnect the generations. Yevarei Kaplan says his job will be to prepare us for prophecy, to teach us how to meditate. Because how are you going to be a prophet if you don't know how to meditate? So he's going to prepare the world for prophecy. And even though it may be delayed, our job is not to bring Mashiach, our job is to prepare for the Mashiach. And it's based on the Pasuk in Habakkuk. Who is Habakkuk, by the way? Who is Habakkuk? Very good. Habakkuk was the Navi. And Elisha was staying with a woman, the Shunammit. And her son dies. And he revives the child. He says the mother hugged the child. That's Chibuk. His name was Habakkuk, based on the word Chibuk, which is hugging. He was hugged by two people, by Elisha, who hugged him to bring him back to life, and by his mother. So Habakkuk, the prophet. So he says in Habakkuk, Imit mamea hakelo. If he's late, wait for him, he says. Ki bo yavo lo yacher. He will definitely come, he won't be late. What do you mean he won't be late? Wait for him. So what do you mean? It's a delay. He says if he's delayed, wait for him. And then he says he won't be late. What does that mean? So even if he's taking a long time, we just have to wait. But there's a certain time beyond which he will not be delayed. Whereas there's the last time he said, Be'ita achishena. Mashiach will come either at its time, which is the last time possible, or achishena, Hashem says, I will bring him earlier, based on a person's deeds. It says, if all the Jewish people would keep two Shabbats, Mashiach would come. Halavai, he would all keep two Shabbats. Or if all the Jewish people break two Shabbats, Mashiach will come. And you know what? None of them is possible. There will always be one Jew keeping Shabbat somewhere, there will always be one Jew breaking Shabbat somewhere. So it's practically impossible, right? So we should try and get all the Jews to keep two Shabbats and bring Mashiach. Okay, the potential exists every day Mashiach can come. The famous story, it says Eliyahu Navi was in the marketplace and one of the rabbis could talk to him, could see him. You can't even see him. He says, when is Mashiach coming? He says, Hayom, today. Day passes, nothing happened. He comes to Mashiach, he said, Eliyahu Navi, the next day. He says, you told me he's coming yesterday, how come he didn't come? He says, Hayom. if they listen to his voice, if they listen to God's voice, his potential Mashiach can come anytime. If the Jewish people listen to Hashem's voice, Mashiach can come anytime. So, nevertheless, the Gemara says, Mashiach cannot come on Erev Shabbat, on Shabbat, or on Yom Tov. What do you mean? Can't come on these days. Why? Because Jews are busy preparing. Erev Shabbat, you're busy preparing for Shabbat. Mashiach comes, who's going to prepare for Shabbat? If he comes on a Shabbat, you can't break Shabbat. You can't go to Israel. Or Yom Tov. That only happens if it's Be'itah. That's a programmed date. Hashem does not program him to come. But Achishen, if Hashem wants to send him fast, they can come any day. Hashem wants to come fast, they can come any single day of the day. So it's a mitzvah of anticipating the Mashiach. And this is part of the 12th principle is, even though he's late, we will wait for him. We're still waiting. We're still waiting. Anticipating Mashiach. Says one day the Brisker Rav, his button fell off his Shabbat jacket. He couldn't sleep that night. He says, what happens if Mashiach comes and my button's off my jacket? So he told his daughter to please do a mitzvah, but sew up my button before I can't sleep. Maybe Mashiach comes. We had over here Mashkiach of Lakewood. His name was Rabbi Wachtvogel. He had a box packed under his bed. Mashiach comes, I'm ready, my suitcase is ready. That's the emunah that we're meant to have, that anytime, come anytime. Anytime. And Yeshua Hashem kecheref ayin, Hashem, salvation can come in the blink of an eye. Who'd believe, right? 1945, the Jews were left out of Auschwitz, and in 1948 we got a state already. It's a miracle. We don't really realize the miracle. It's a massive miracle. It's a massive miracle. The Rambam says, a person doesn't believe or anticipate Mashiach as a kofir, he denies the Torah of Hashem. And after 120 years, the Gemara says, there are three questions. Some people say seven questions. It's different from Machloket in the Gemara. What are the three questions? When a person passes away, three questions. Quickly, let's go. Kavata etim leTorah. Did you fix times to learn Torah? So all of us over here, we can say yes. We fixed times to learn Torah. Nasata venatata beemunah. Did you do business with emunah, with faith? You're truthful in business. Sipita li Yeshua, and did you hope for salvation? Did you hope for salvation? Three questions. This is one of the three questions. Did you hope for salvation? So we have this bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei. A person's got to pay attention. Et semach David avdecha merat asmiach. The descendant of David, quickly, Hashem. Bring the Mashiach. Bring the descendant of David, quickly. So that is the purpose of creation. So we have to anticipate the purpose of creation. Yes, three points, three questions. Number one, you ready? Kavata etim leTorah. Did you fix times to learn Torah? Fix times. Doesn't say how much did you learn. It's very interesting. In other words, it's not the amount of learning is not as important as the fact that you fix times, because when you fix times, it shows it's important. A person can learn a lot in 1 hour, but it's not enough. Why? You didn't fix times to have that hour. Every day we have a fixed times to learn. You have a fixed time which you don't cancel at any cost. Any cost. So kavata etim leTorah. Number two, nasata venatata beemunah. Did you do business honestly with faith in God? Because when a person cheats and crooks, it shows he doesn't have faith in God. It's very hard to have faith in God, 100%. A person says, you know what? I don't have to cheat. I don't have to crook. If Hashem wants to give me, He'll give me. That's faith in God, right? And number three, tzipita li Yeshua. Did you hope for salvation? And it's interesting because who invented the Ani Mamin tune? Ani Mamin. And the answer is, on the way to the gas chambers. There was someone who made up that tune. He made up the tune on the train. And so one of the Hasidim made up this tune. On the way to Auschwitz. And it's very important to remember that Ani Ma'amin, before dying, a person should say Ani Ma'amin b'emunah shlemah. So a person should keep their faith to the end, because the only thing we can take with us is our faith. That's the only thing. Our faith keeps us going after death. We said before, a person who believes in the afterlife will get the afterlife. A person who believes in Hashem will see Hashem. A person who believes in Tiyat HaMetim will have Tiyat HaMetim. We create our destinies with our faith. Our faith creates our destinies. Very important. This is a very important point. I have to say it over again. Our faith creates our destinies. We create our destinies through our faith. We don't have faith, we don't create our destiny. Okay. Yishlach laketz yamin meshichenu. Send the Yigdal. Okay, so ketz hayamin. This is the end of days, Rashi says. The ketz hayamin ba'acharit hayamin, Rashi says. What is ketz hayamin? Why is it called the end of the right? Rashi explains. Sheachzir yamino lefanav. Hashem is sort of putting his right hand behind his back. He's not working with the full thing, otherwise he can do whatever he wants. He's putting his power behind him. When Hashem shows his power, that's it. Mashiach will come. That's the power of Hashem. Hashem will show his power. So kibyachol, Hashem puts his right hand behind his back. And he doesn't show his power to the world. And that's the part of the hiddenness of Hashem. Hester Panim. We're all waiting for Mashiach, so there won't be no more Hester Panim. Hashem's glory will be revealed. I'm going to move on now to the Rambam. This is the end of the Rambam, basically. The Rambam wrote three major works. He wrote the commentary on the Mishnah, which we said when he was very young. He wrote in Arabic. He wrote his Morei Nevuchim. We're not sure his old age and his youth. Morei Nevuchim, the guide to the perplexed, also in Arabic. But he wrote the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah consists of Yad. Yad HaChazaka, 14 volumes. And the last volume is this one. Hilchot Melachim, the laws of kings and their wars. So this is the last chapter, laws of kings. And I'm just going to read it to you verbatim in the future, he says. HaMelech HaMashiach, the king, the anointed one, is going to rise up and bring back the kingdom to David. He's going to renew the Davidic dynasty, which he says one of the purposes of Mashiach is, number one, he's going to be renew the Davidic dynasty. It's going to be from David. He's bring it back to its initial sovereignty. Okay. Bone HaMikdash. He's going to build the Beit HaMikdash. So the guy says, I'm Mashiach. So, okay, prove it. Go ahead. Yeah, well, prove it. How do I prove it? It says, number one, are you from David HaMelech? Bring your genealogy records. We're going to see. How do you prove that you're from David HaMelech? Number two is, go build the Beit HaMikdash. Go ahead. Let's see if you can build the Beit HaMikdash. Number three, Mekabetz Nitzchei Yisrael. He's going to bring back all the Jewish people. Let's see if you can do that. B'chozrin kol mishpatim b'yamav k'sheyu mekodem. All the laws of the Torah will come back to what they were before. Makriyin korbanot, the korbanot.
What does it mean?
What does that mean? That means today the society in Israel is not based on Torah law. It's based on British and Turkish law. You know that? People don't realize. The state of Israel's laws are the laws that they inherited from the British and the Turks. Plus the laws they passed in the Knesset. Even that, the High Court throws it out all the time. So, in those days, what will happen is, we will be based on Torah law. There won't be any civil courts. There'll be just Beit Dins. Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin will come back. The laws will be governed by Jewish law. Makrivim Korbanot. The Korbanot will come back. Vosim Shmitin V'Yovlot. And the laws of Shemitah, laws of Yovel, will come back as they were from the Torah. Today we're doing them the Rabbanah, we don't know exactly what date even.
You're talking too fast.
I know.
I'm having a hard time.
I know.
He thinks fast.
So these are the laws of kings and their wars. Okay, let's just go back and recap. In the future, he says, the Mashiach king will arise, the anointed king. He'll renew the Davidic dynasty. Returning it to an initial sovereignty. Mashiach will build the temple and gather the dispersed of Israel. In his days, the observance of all the statutes will return to their previous state. Whatever our laws. So all the laws of the Torah will come back into force. That'll be the laws of Israel as they were before. We will offer sacrifices. Observe the sabbatical, the Shemitah, and the Yovel, Jubilee year, according to all the laws mentioned in the Torah.
It's hard to think of Korbanot coming back.
Right? It's hard to think about it, but it's good to think about it. I had a Rosh Yeshiva in Israel. He says, I can't wait for the Beit HaMikdash to be built. He says, why? because I don't have to pray three times a day anymore. I have the korbanot, I don't have to pray. Is that a nice way of looking at it? I don't know. Anyone who does not believe in him or does not wait for his coming denies, it's a denier, kofir, denies not only the statement of the other prophets, but even the prophecy of Moses in the Torah. How do we know? Because in chapter 30 of Devarim, it says, V'shav Hashem elokecha et shvuticha v'rechamecha. Hashem will bring back your captivity and have mercy on you. V'shav v'kibitzcha, and he will bring you back from all the places under the heavens where he scattered you. Imagine, Moses is writing this 3,400 years ago, before even the Jews were in Israel. Hashem's going to scatter you, and he's going to bring you back from the four corners of the earth. How do you know that there are four, the Jewish people are scattered everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's always a Chabad somewhere. Vietnam. Imagine, my son went to Vietnam. There's Chabad in Vietnam. There are 14 or maybe 17 now in China. 14 Chabad houses in China. Because Jews go everywhere. Kathmandu, the biggest seder in the world, is in Kathmandu. 400 people.
Wow.
Chabad in Kathmandu. It's hard to imagine that Jews go everywhere. There's not a single place in the world without some Jew somewhere. So, that is, Hashem says, I'm going to scatter you. Imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu is predicting Hashem's going to scatter the Jews over the four corners of the earth. And then he's going to bring us back. And then bring us back to the land of Israel, not just anywhere, not to Uganda, but back to the land of Israel. And these things are explicit in the Torah. And they include all the statements made by the prophets. Can you imagine, who is the one who predicts Mashiach? Bilam. Bilam, Ben Beor, the non-Jewish prophet. Imagine, non-Jewish prophet, Bilam. He also mentions, he prophesies the coming of two appointed kings. The first king, David, who saved Israel. And the final anointed king who will arise from his descendants. I'm just going to read to you the passage over here in Bamidbar, chapter 24, Bilam's prophecy. Ashurenu velo karov, the rabbi said, Erenu velo ata, I will see him, but not now. The rabbi said, this refers to David, I see him. That's David HaMelech. Ashurenu velo karov, I perceive him, but not in the near future. This refers to the Mashiach. Darach kochav miYaakov, a star will come out of Jacob. Ze David, that's David HaMelech. Vekam shevet miYisrael, and a staff shall arise in Israel, refers to the Mashiach. Machas pate Moav, ze David. Crushing Moav will be David. Vekarkara ben Bereshet, and dominating all of Seth's descendants, this refers to Mashiach. As Zechariah says, he will rule from sea to sea. Mashiach will rule from one sea to the other sea. Edom will be demolished, which refers to David. Seir will be destroyed, this refers to the Messianic king. As Ovadia says, Ubahu avdi meretz Ashur, vanidache meretz Yisraim. Right? But he Edom David Avidim, v'hiya yeresha, ze melech HaMashiach. ועלו מושים בהציון, נשפוט הר עשיו, ויצא השם למלך על כל הארץ. And Hashem will be a king over the whole world. Okay, so that is Mashiach. So these prophecies exist. There's another prophecy regarding the cities of refuge. How many cities of refuge were there? Six. And the Torah says, in Devarim chapter 19, if Hashem will increase your boundaries and you will add another three, the Rambam says, this never happened. It didn't happen yet, but eventually it will. So that's a prophecy also for the future. As to the prophets, he says, their books are full of prophecies for the Mashiach. All the books of the prophets. Everything we did Michai and we did Amos, and all these books are full of some mention of prophecies of the future. So, he continues. Now, what will Mashiach do exactly? There's going to be miracles. Yes. We're going to see exactly what he's going to talk about now. How will the world change? Will the world change or not? One should not think that Mashiach must do wonders and miracles. that he should bring about new creations within the world or resurrect the dead or perform other similar deeds. This is definitely not true. Mashiach will be an ordinary person. He's very charismatic, very knowledgeable, and be a prophet. He doesn't have to do any miracles. How do we know? Because Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba was the Mashiach. And Bar Kochba didn't do anything special. He didn't do any miracles. He was a big general. He was a religious man. It's amazing. Bar Kochba, people don't realize how religious Bar Kochba was. Bar Kochba, he found a letter in Bar Kochba's own writing telling his troops, his general, to provide lulavim and etrogim for all the troops.
Wow.
I'm sending you a cart full of lulavim. I'm sending you a cart full of etrogim for your troops. Imagine. That's Bar Kochba. How much more so the Mashiach himself? So Rabbi Akiva thought Bar Kochba would be the king. He and all the sages of his generation considered him to be a messianic king until he was killed because of his sins. Once he was killed, they realized he was not Mashiach. So any person who says, I'm Mashiach, and then he dies, sign he's not Mashiach. He's killed.
Mashiach will live forever?
No, he'll die, but he won't be killed. In other words, if you can kill him, he's not Mashiach. The main thrust of the matter is the Torah, its statutes, its laws are everlasting. No one can come along and add to them or subtract to them. So Mashiach comes, you don't need to do this mitzvah anymore. You don't have to do this mitzvah anymore. All these books are, you don't believe him. The Mashiach cannot add or subtract any mitzvot. He can tell you this is a rabbinical law, but he can't say a Torah law, it's a new Torah law. He can't say that. So what are the qualities of the Mashiach? Number one, the king will arise from the house of David. You saw that? Number one is house of David. Number two, he's learned in the Torah and observant of the mitzvot, just like his forefather David. Number three, he will compel all of Israel to walk in the ways of the Torah. Number four, he will fight the wars of God. We can consider him the Mashiach. And then, if he succeeds in the above and builds the temple in its place and gathers the dispersed of Israel, he is definitely the Mashiach. How do we know you're the Mashiach? Okay, the guy said, I'm a Mashiach. Okay, go prove it. Bring all the Jews back to Israel. Mm-hmm. Make them all religious. Build a Beit Hamikdash. And if they don't kill you in the meantime, then we'll believe you are Mashiach. And then, that's just the first part of what he has to do. Boy, he's got a lot of things on his plate. He will then improve the whole world, motivating all the nations to serve God together. As it says, I'll make the people pure of speech. This is Sefaniah, Book of Sefaniah. And Likroa Kulam B'Shem Hashem, they all call out in the name of Hashem, Le'ovdo Shechem Echad, and serve Him with one purpose. So anyway, people think, you know, we build a temple for ourselves. Wrong! We read the last week, Micha says, it'll be, Ki Beiti Beit Tefila Yikrei L'Chol Amim. My house will be a house of prayer for all the nations. You go to Beit Hamikdash, who do you see over there? Just like you go to the Kotel today, you see Chinese, you'll see Koreans, you'll see Russians, you'll see all the nations of the world are going to come to pray in the Beit Hamikdash.
So that means everyone will be Jewish.
No.
Oh.
Doesn't mean you're Jewish. You could be the righteous of the nations. B'nai Noach. The laws of Noach. Noachide laws. Supposed to keep seven Noachide laws. And they know there's only one God. That's part of Noachide law. Noachide law is one God. Not to worship any other god. If he does not succeed or was killed, he is surely not the Redeemer. Okay, this section was all censored by the Christians. In the Middle Ages, the Christian censors took this out completely. We got it back from Yemenite versions of the Rambam. It's interesting. People don't realize that the Rambam, all the books of the Torah were censored. To be print a book in the Christian countries, you had to go through the censor. And not only that, if you look at the old manuscripts, you'll find they're all sealed by the censor. Censored, it says. Officially by the censor of so-and-so government. So every government in Europe had a censor. Churches probably just censored it. Who are the guys who censored these documents? Probably the Jews who converted out. Usually, because who else could read the Hebrew and who else could understand what's going on? So they were the mamzerim. They were the terrible turncoats. So anyway, so this the Rambam also was censored over here, and this was put back into the Rambam. People don't realize that. If you look in the regular books of the Rambam, you won't find this section. This section was brought in a new volume printed by Moznaim. And so the later volumes of the Rambam have this section. Same thing, the Talmud was censored. The Talmud was censored, and today there are sections in the Talmud which they're putting back in, which they found in different manuscripts. Okay, so if the Mashiach did not succeed, or was killed, he is definitely not Mashiach. And God caused him to rise in order to test the many. As Daniel says in chapter 11, some of the wise men will stumble to try them, to refine them, and to clarify until the appointed time, because the set time is in the future. Okay, now he goes into something very controversial, which the Christians hated, and I said it's sensitive. Yeshu, Jesus of Nazareth, who aspired to be the Mashiach, and was executed, was also alluded to in Daniel's prophecies, chapter 11. Can there be a greater stumbling block than Christianity? All the prophets spoke of the Mashiach as the Redeemer of Israel and Savior, who had gathered their dispersed and strengthened the observance of the mitzvot. By contrast, Christianity caused the Jews to be slain by the sword. We don't really realize that. Now we're living in good times. But the Jews were killed by Christians. Inquisition, other things. It was terrible. To live in a Christian country was like living like a dog. You live like a dog, really. You don't know what's going to happen next. And every time there's a crusade, the first victims were the Jews. They just wipe them out. On the way to the crusades, they just wipe out the Jews, can baptize the kids, or whatever they can catch hold of, and destroy the rest. So Christianity caused the Jews to be slain by the sword, the remnants to be scattered and humbled, the Torah to be altered. They took out put a whole New Testament, Old Testament's old, and the majority of the world to err and serve a God other than the Lord. They put three instead of one. Trinity instead of one is terrible disaster. Nevertheless, the Rambam has a good spin on it. It's amazing, this Rambam. This Rambam is very controversial, by the way. Nevertheless, the intent of the Creator of the world is not within the power of man to comprehend. His ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Ultimately, all the deeds of Jesus of Nazareth and the Ishmaelites. Also, it's very brave to write this also. This is written in Cairo. And can you imagine? It talks about the Ishmaelites. Who is Ishmaelite? Muhammad. He doesn't say his name. Who arose after him will only serve to prepare the way for Mashiach and the improvement of the entire world, motivating the nations to serve God together. As Sephaniah says, I will make the people pure of speech, that they will call upon the name of God and serve in one purpose. In other words, he'll tell you, how will this come about? The entire world has already become filled with the mention of Mashiach. They're all talking about Mashiach. Everyone talks about Mashiach. Christians talk about Mashiach. Mm-hmm. They think he's going to come back. Yeah, Muslims, they think of the Mahdi. Iran, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to create a world war so their Mahdi will come. Then Mashiach will come as well. So everyone talks about Mashiach, talk about Torah, talk about mitzvot. These matters have been spread to the furthermost islands. Imagine the missionaries go to the furthermost islands, to many stubborn-hearted nations, and they discuss these matters. Imagine. So a good Christian has to read a little bit of the Old Testament. It's amazing how... You know, today, it's a disgrace for us. We're disgraced. Why are we disgraced? Because they're learning our Bible more than we're learning our Bible. It's a disaster. They're learning our prophets more than we're learning our prophets. That's why I'm giving a class on prophecies, on different prophecies, because Jews don't know these things. Who has ever heard of Amos? Who ever heard of Micha? Who ever heard of the Yoel? Who ever heard of these smart prophets? No one ever heard of them. It's very important for us to learn these books, because they're learning them. So all the evangelicals, amazing. They learn how they learn the... Nach, they're learning Nach, more than we're learning Nach. But they're just twisting a little bit because of what they learned. We have an obligation to learn. It's amazing, the women learn more Nach than the boys. It's a disaster. I think it's a disaster. It's one of the failures of our educational system. My daughters learn more Nach than I learned in my life. It's a disaster. So, yeah, so... But we should learn Tanakh before we learn Talmud. So it's a failure. It's a failure. Definitely a failure. We have to learn more Nach. Because the Nach is all the prophecy of the future. That's where everything, that's where all they are.
That's why there's the Shita Silverman.
What?
There's the Shita in Israel.
There's Barkai, there's the Shita Tagra, there's the Maharal. The school's in Lakewood now, teaching. Whatever, it's Barkai. It's a new system. It's a system of learning the whole Tanakh first. And that's also Shitat Agrah, is a Shitat Agrah, Shitat Maral. In Lakewood, they have schools which teach the whole Tanakh first. Teach the whole Torah first. Okay. So these matters have been spread to the furthermost islands to the many stubborn-hearted nations. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day, Lavdil, right? You know, people don't realize that how much these guys were idolaters, pagans, and how the missionaries went. They killed them, and they put new missionaries and new missionaries until they converted the whole nation. Can you imagine? It's hard to imagine, yeah? Papua New Guinea, right? These guys would eat them. They'd eat them up, put them in the pot, and they would go and go and until they converted them. Amazing. So that's half the battle already. They know these concepts of Mashiach. They know concepts of the Bible. They know these concepts. That's what Rambam's saying. They made things easier for us, for Mashiach. Even the Muslims, they believe in one God, at least. I don't know what kind of God they believe in. A God of killing and murder. Terrible, but at least they believe in one God. So it's much easier later on. What Muhammad did was he rewrote the whole Bible. The Quran starts with Adam and Eve. He rewrote everything. He just took the Bible and rewrote it in his own words. And instead of Isaac being the offering, Ishmael became the offering. He just twisted everything to the whole Bible. He talks about Moses, he talks about Bnei Israel. He talks about everything. But his own language, and he twists everything. So people know about these things. Everyone in the world knows about these things. Except for India and China. The Far East, really. The Christian missionaries didn't really get to. So the Far East, they tried to convert the Indians, and today there's a backlash. They're trying to kill Christians in India. If you go to India, one of the things they're very anti-Christianity because they want to keep their old values, the Hindus, they want to keep their old pagan values. Amazing, they're pagans, total pagans, amazing. 1.3 billion, I think there are. The Chinese, no religion. Used to be Buddhists. And Japan, pagans. Who believe? Japan. Advanced society of pagans. Amazing. They worship their ancestors and Buddha and all kinds of things going on over there. It's amazing. So there's still a lot of work to be done. Still a lot of work to be done. And so still we have a way to go. That's another 2.5 billion people. Or nearly 3 billion people. So the world is 7 billion, so only half of them know the concept of one God and the Bible. It's a long way to go. So implied in the mitzvot are hidden concepts that cannot be understood simply. Others say that the Mashiach has already come. However, he says, we know the Mashiach didn't come. Why? We have no temple. The Jews are still in exile. Not all the Jews are religious. And he's not fighting our wars, that's for sure. So that when the true Mashiach will come and prove successful, his position becoming exalted and uplifted, they will all return and realize that their ancestors endowed them with a false heritage, and their prophets and ancestors caused them to make a mistake. Okay, so that's the prediction the Rambam says of Mashiach, is eventually there'll be this charismatic figure who'll be a king of Israel, who will do all these different things, and eventually all the people of the world will start following him and realize they got fooled by their ancestors. Now what's going to happen in the Messianic Age? So he tells us in chapter 12, don't think, Ali Ali Alef, he says, then the time of Mashiach, the world will change. There'll be no changes in the world. The world will continue according to its pattern. Although Isaiah says in chapter 11, the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. It means if you go to the zoo, imagine you go to the zoo, you see a wolf and a lamb inside the cage of the wolf. He says, don't take it literally. It's not going to happen. Rambam says, not take it literally. Ramban says, it will be literal. Ramban takes this literally. Ramban says, literally, nature will change. Rambam says, nature will not change. It's a debate in the Gemara, actually. So, Machlok in the Gemara. In Brachot 34b. Rabbi Yochanan says, all the prophets only prophesied concerning the Messianic age. However, the world to come, no one has ever seen it except God. Shmuel says, there is no difference between the current age and the Messianic age, except emancipation from our subjugation. Jews are going to be emancipated. We're seeing it today. Jews are being emancipated. Amazing. But we're not using that. Instead of freedom for religion, we're doing freedom from religion. Instead of freedom, you know, you tell a Jew you're not allowed to keep kosher. Jew will say, what do you mean I can't keep kosher? I'm going to keep kosher. You watch. If you tell a Jew, you can do whatever you want. Jew will say, okay, I won't keep kosher. It's amazing. It's amazing. How many centuries we fought for freedom for religion. Now we have it. Now it's freedom from religion. It's a disaster. So anyway, so we see a machlok in the Gemara between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says all the prophets discuss the Messianic age. The world to come, no one's ever seen. Shmuel says there's no difference between the current age and the Messianic age, except the Jews will be emancipated. That's the opinion of the Rambam. Rambam says the Messianic age will have no miracles. It's a parable. The wolf will live with a lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. These worlds are a metaphor. And the metaphor is Israel, who is compared to the lamb, will dwell together with the wicked Gentiles who are likened to a wolf and a leopard in the prophecy. So we won't be attacked anymore.
A lot of opinions.
Well, just two. Let's not make it too many, right? Just two opinions. But the opinion of the Rambam follows very simple. The Messianic era will be the same as we're seeing today. It's amazing. Today you can walk in a street with a yarmulke on, no one's going to kill you. Don't take it for granted. This is just today's day and age. This is very recent. And it depends also on the society you go in. If you go in certain places in London even, with a yarmulke on,
right,
they'll kill you.
In trouble.
Or in the Bronx, I don't know where.
France.
I don't know. France, for sure. I'm saying, it's a miracle that still we can live in a society and they don't kill us. It's a miracle. We have to appreciate this. It's a miracle. This is just in today's day and age. At one time, to live as a Jew was just life is in your hands. You know, any time they could come, a pogrom in Arab countries. You see the pictures; it's just wild. Kill the Jews, and they start killing all the Jews. So this is lionless is will eat straw like an ox. That's what it means. It means the leopards will live with the goats. With the goats, it means that here we can Jews can live and even get kosher food on a plane. Imagine, you go on a plane, you get kosher food. It's like, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. We have to appreciate. This never happened for thousands of years, never happened.
What about the part that says that the swords will be changed into plowshares?
Yes.
That's also metaphor.
Coming to it. No, that's not a metaphor. There'll be no difference between the current age and the Messianic age, except for the emancipation from our subjugation. Jews won't be subjugated anymore. The simple interpretation of the prophet's words applied to imply that the war of Gog and Magog will take place at the beginning of the Messianic era. Okay? Now, according to Rabbi Mordechai Sharabi, who was a very big Kabbalist, he says that Gog and Magog was the Second World War. I hope he was right. I really hope he was right. Gog and Magog was a world war, and that was the Second World War, was Gog and Magog. And he says that the Gog and Magog, a prophet will arise to make Israel upright and prepare their hearts to serve God, which we didn't see yet. Behold, I'm sending you Eliyahu Navi. He will not come to declare the pure impure, to declare the impure pure. He will not dispute the lineage of those presumed to be of proper pedigree. He won't say who is really, you're from a Jewish lineage, you're not from a Jewish lineage, you're a mamzer, you're not a mamzer. He'll just make peace in the world. And that's what it means. He will turn the heart of the fathers to their children. He'll make peace in the world. Some rabbis say Eliyahu Navi will come before the Mashiach. But then he says, no one knows exactly the order of these events. These matters are undefined in the prophet's words. And even the wise men, which are the great rabbis, have no tradition regarding these matters. Only their own interpretation. And there was a controversy among them regarding these verses. Okay. Regardless of this debate, neither the order of the occurrence of these events nor their precise detail are among the fundamental principles of the faith. So interesting. So as long as you believe Mashiach will come, that's your major principle of faith. As long as you live your life with optimism and you're knowing things are going to get better, that's your major principle of faith. A person should not occupy themselves with Agadot, homiletic concerning this study, because the study of Mashiach will neither bring you to fear nor love of God. It's not going to bring you closer. It's just, no, at the end, that's what's going to happen. Similarly, one should not try to determine the appointed time. Shouldn't try and figure out, when is he coming? He's coming today, tomorrow, day after? We don't know. Rather, one should wait and believe in the general conception of the matter. During the era of the Messianic King, once his kingdom has been established and all of Israel has been gathered around him, the entire nation's line of descent will be established. He'll purify the lineage of the Levites first. He'll purify the lineage of the priest, the Kohanim, who is a real Kohen, not a real Kohen. Apparently only 1 in 400 is a real Kohen. Why? Because in those days it was advantageous to be a kohen. You get a truma, you get honor. So a lot of people pretended to be kohenim. So the Mashiach will come and purify the lineage of the kohenim and the Levites serving the temple. Who will eat the maaser and truma? Then he defines the lineage of the Israelites. He'll tell each one which tribe you're from. Okay, so now why do we want the Messianic era? The rabbis did not yearn for the Messianic era in order to have a dominion over the entire world. We don't want to rule the world, contrary to all the claims. We don't want to rule over the nations. We don't want to be exalted over the nations, or to eat and drink and celebrate. Rather, they just wanted to be free, to involve themselves in Torah and wisdom without any pressures or disturbances, that they should merit the world to come. So interesting, we want Mashiach to be free and in peace, so we can focus on service of God. In that era, this is coming to back to your question, there will be neither famine nor war. There will be neither envy or competition. Good will flow in abundance, and all the delights will be as common as the dust. The occupation of the entire will be solely to know God. Imagine, the whole world will be involved in knowing God. That's amazing. Therefore, the Jews will be great sages and know hidden matters, attaining knowledge of their Creator to the fullest extent of human potential. That's what Yeshayahu Navi says in chapter 11. The world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the sea fills the ocean bed. And that's the last lines of the Rambam. Kamayim layam mechasim. The knowledge of God will be full just like the water fills the ocean bed. We're going to end off over here. And we'll continue next week with a bit of Pesach. The philosophy of Pesach.